Thank you. I'm really excited to be here today to talk about social software and academic libraries. Can everyone hear me okay in the back? Just feel free to tell me to speak up. So by now, I'm sure that most of you have heard or read something about social software, whether that be hype or predictions or analysis. So what I'd like to talk to you about today is what's really going on with these tools, how libraries are using them, how library patrons are using them, and how, when you leave here today, how you can be using them too. I want to let you know that you can take notes, but the entire presentation is up at this URL at slideshare.net. It's a social software program for sharing presentations. And I've also blogged about the presentation at my other blog, iLibrarian, and there's the URL, where I've set up hyperlinks to all of the websites that I'm going to be mentioning in today's talk. And I'll be giving you these URLs at the end of the presentation too, so if you don't have time to jot them down now. So let's start off by talking about what social software is. Social software consists of new Web 2.0 tools, which are social, they're participatory, they're collaborative. Generally, they're easy to use, and they're usually in community environments. They are the tools which let people create, contribute, connect, converse, vote, and share online. But why should we care about social software? Well, there's been an explosion of growth with these tools. MySpace now has over 200 million members. There are over 75 million blogs online, and Flickr just passed 2 billion photos. The adoption rate of these tools is higher than ever. It's not techies anymore, not just techies. These tools are now central to young people's lives. For college students, it's everyday life. It's not just an experiment. And the demographics keep getting older as time goes on, and actually they're already older than you might think. Over half of all visitors to MySpace are over 35 years old. So it is in these new social environments, these communities, that information is being exchanged today. They are the new info hubs. And these social software tools are easy, they're accessible. They come in many shapes, sizes, and flavors, and these are the tools which I will be discussing today. And let's start off with wikis. Many of you might have heard of wikis by Wikipedia, WikiHow, or maybe another wiki. Wikipedia currently has over 5 million articles written in over 200 languages. The term wiki comes from the Hawaiian, meaning quick or fast, and it's a collaborative online space where people can work together on a shared document or website, which they can create quickly and easily. And today, everyone can have a website because HTML knowledge is really not required with a wiki. So it makes these great tools for taking on team projects, for building knowledge bases, for remote collaboration, creating an FAQ document, for course instruction, creating encyclopedias, and even for intranets. But how are academic libraries making use of this technology? Well, the University of Minnesota Libraries is using PMWiki to create a staff intranet. It is a centralized repository of their organizational knowledge. They have over 3,000 pages, including instructions for signing up for library listservs, travel policies, library division pages, and organizational charts. And because wikis allow uploading and storing files, they also are able to provide things like HR forms and authorization forms for their employees to download. And the librarians there say that their wiki enables them to stay organized and is easy enough for everyone to edit. The Antioch University New England library staff has created a training and support wiki using SeedWiki. They have library opening and closing procedures, instructions for using the ILS, book processing information, phone operations, timesheets, and login troubleshooting information. The USC Aiken Gregg Graniteville Library is using PMWiki to create a robust library website. They are providing their patrons with research guides, forms, database tips, instructions, and over 6,000 images from their digital collections. And they say that their wiki has created a sense of ownership and commitment among their library staff. The Ohio University Libraries has combined their marketing, general, and international business subject guides into one place to create BizWiki. It's a searchable and easily updatable resource for patrons, which anyone can edit, including those patrons. They're using MediaWiki, and they've created this information resource about business databases, resources, instructional articles, instructions on how to research companies, guides to various industries, and frequently asked reference questions. And they say that it allows them to create dynamic content and address popular questions quickly. Wikis can also be used as resource reviews collections, which is what the Butler University Libraries are doing with SeedWiki. They have over 130 reviews of databases, books, websites, and style guides that are part of their reference collection. Beyond strictly academia, library organizations are using them for conference planning as an informal space to have information about speakers and attendees, schedules, dining information, tagging, and Twitter information. This is the ALA 2007 annual conference wiki. And librarians are using them for best practices collections, such as the Library Success Wiki here. Also, the Library Instruction Wiki is a collection of all of the best resources having to do with instructional librarians, best websites, and downloadable documents. So let's change gears and talk about social bookmarking tools. These tools enable people to bookmark their favorite websites, blog posts, images, podcasts, in an online space, which makes them portable. They can be accessed from any web-enabled computer. And Delicious has over 1.5 million members. And StumbleUpon, which is another popular social bookmarking application, has over 2.2 million members and steadily growing. They're great tools for creating resource collections, for subject guides, and for reading lists. So let's take a look at how academic libraries are using these tools. The Southern Connecticut State University Hilton C. Bewley Library has rolled their Delicious bookmarks into their subject guides. To create a seamless and dynamically updating subject guide for their patrons by grabbing the RSS feeds for their bookmarks. The MIT Libraries has done the same here with their subject guides with their virtual reference collection. We can see that they have five items listed here under their acronym section and one under almanacs. And then if we go in and look at their Delicious account, where they're storing their bookmarks, we can see that they have tagged five items with the keyword acronyms and one almanacs. And that's what they're grabbing and rolling back into their subject guide here. And this is what it looks like. So it's really a seamless way to create an automatically updating subject guide. And their librarians have said that this makes it much easier to maintain an updated website such as this. And I'm sure that by now many of you have heard of the University of Pennsylvania's Pen Tags initiative. It's a social bookmarking community that's open to their students, faculty, and staff to create bookmarks from any web content, including library resources such as OPAC records, journal articles, databases, and e-resources. It's very similar to Delicious. And earlier this year, while they were still in pre-launch, they had over 13,000 posted bookmarks and over 800 users. A similar tool is Libmarks. It's a white label social bookmarking community by SpringShare, and meaning that you can add all of your own branding and logo information and customize it so that it looks like your own library's website. It is a paid subscription, but it's customizable so that you can create your own pen tags like community for your own population. And just like pen tags, bookmarks can include any web content, and users can make their bookmarks public or private. And this is the class that I teach at LIU, and we are using social bookmarking to create class reading lists. Everyone in the class contributes bookmarks that they feel might be relevant to the course, and they attach this LIS 901-06 tag that you can see here in Delicious. The librarians at the Maui Community College Library keep up to date with the latest happenings in the field through a shared Delicious account. And the librarians there say that it's a great way for them to share interesting resources, and it's much easier than emailing everyone every time that they find something interesting. The University of South Florida Lakeland Library Services feeds in their Delicious bookmarks on the sidebar of their blog here to present their patrons with recommended resources. And beyond academia, librarians themselves are using social bookmarking tools to keep current about new developments in the field by following tags such as this Library 2.0 tag here on Delicious to find out the most recent publications, podcasts, and reports having to do with Library 2.0. And again, here's the ALA annual conference wiki where they're asking people to please use the tag ALA 2007 when bookmarking items on Delicious and other social sites. And here's that tag in Delicious, and as you can see, people have been tagging with that prescribed keyword. So it can be an effective way to also track what's going on with events or presentations that have been uploaded afterward. So that's it for social bookmarking. Let's talk about media sharing. Well, amateurs and pros are now able to upload their own works, exhibit photographs, digital collections, video shorts, karaoke clips, and their own low-budget sitcoms that they've created. As you know, the audience has now become the creator, and new media sharing tools enable people to organize and share these photo and video collections online. They're very easy to upload, and between 1 and 2 million images are uploaded to Flickr every day. And the photo sharing website PhotoBucket has over 41 million members. YouTube streams over 100 million video clips every day. And they're great tools for training, for marketing and promotion, for teaching, for digital collections management, for showing online exhibits, and for creating tours. So let's take a look at how academic libraries are making use of media sharing tools. The Colorado College Tutt and Coburn Libraries displays its special collection of photographs of the college libraries dating back to the 19th century, and they make it available to the public on their Flickr site. The helpful staff at the Arizona State University Libraries is featured in a collection of photos on Flickr taken at the library's Lost event, in which staff assisted 3,700 students in finding their way around campus. So these tools are a great way to show the human side of libraries and other organizations. And the librarians at Williams College have created a library welcome video for new students, which leads them on a mystery tour of their library. They have it posted up on YouTube, and it's an engaging way to introduce students to the campus library and also to its approachable librarians. And the Williams College librarians say that it's really helped market them to their community and that their undergrads really get it. The School of Dentistry and Health Sciences libraries at the University of Michigan have created a video featuring opportunities for science learning and research in Second Life. This instructional 3-minute film spotlights destinations where you can interact with cholesterol molecules, conduct genetic experiments, and take part in clinical simulations, as well as participate in real-time conferences with other learners. Georgia Tech has created a collection of YouTube video webcasts on library research topics to help guide students through cited reference searching, patents research, and finding journal articles. And for my class that I'm teaching on Web 2.0, I set up a social network for my students. And in order to familiarize them with how to accomplish specific tasks on the website, such as create blog posts, upload photos and videos, I created a series of webcasts which walk them through the steps. And I have these webcasts hosted up on a popular video sharing website called Blip TV. The San Jose State University School of Library and Information Science has created a video to announce its new e-learning campus in Second Life. It was created in an effort to augment its distance learning offerings. And also beyond academia, the American Library Association has a collection of hundreds of photos on Flickr showcasing ALA staff, volunteers, speakers, and attendees at its conferences and events. So these social tools are also great marketing vehicles. So let's shift to talking about social networks. A couple of years ago, I was talking about the web as a third place, a place beyond home and work where people can go and gather and feel a sense of community and belonging. But now these social networks themselves have become third places. MySpace has over 200 million users, Facebook over 53 million. Worldwide, MySpace is the 6th most visited website online. And social networks are great tools for creating portals, for networking, for marketing and outreach, and for branding. So let's take a look at how academic libraries are making use of social networks. The University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign Library has established a MySpace page, which acts as a portal leading back to their library website. They have even created a library catalog search, which you can see at the bottom here, which other members of MySpace can add to their own profiles. And by establishing a presence in a community in which their patrons already interact in, they're really making themselves more visible and accessible to a large demographic of patrons. They say it's been great for them to connect with other libraries and for sharing marketing ideas with them. The University of Central Florida promotes their Ask a Librarian service through their MySpace page. The Stony Brook University Health Sciences Library has established a presence on Facebook, utilizing the new feature Facebook Pages in order to promote their library on the social network and draw visitors back to their own website. Librarians such as Lois Coleman of Barnard College are going where the users are and reaching out to students through their Facebook profiles. You can see that she is actually encouraging students to send her their tricky reference questions, and she will answer them for them. A host of academic libraries have created Facebook applications which enable their patrons to search their library catalogs and, in some cases, journal articles from right within Facebook. Facebook applications have been such a huge hit with members that they've accounted for a 37% increase in activity between May, when the feature was released, and August. The popular scholarly journal archive JSTOR has created a search application which accesses its full-text resources in the humanities and social science fields. Although it's currently the only database with a Facebook application right now, it's really only a matter of time before others follow suit, either with Facebook applications or with Google's new Open Social Initiative, which lets people create applications that work with multiple social networks. And beyond academia, librarians, such as myself, are using social networks to network with other librarians and keep up with new happenings in the field. There are over 2,500 librarians who belong to the Ning Library 2.0 social network, in which librarians are chatting on forums, they're blogging, uploading photos and videos. And my husband often makes fun of me when I talk about my friendsters, as I call them, that I've met on these social networks. But when he gets ready to go to a professional event, it's a much different experience than when I do. He's usually not sure if anyone he knows is going or what it's going to be like. And really, I know who's going because usually people in my social network have posted that they're going, where they'll be, what they're doing, and what their schedules are. And, you know, all of those introductory remarks have already been made and exchanged online. We've seen each other's profiles. We know where each other works. So when we meet up at the conference, we can just meet up and talk about the event. Keeping up on what other people in the field are doing is very easy as a Facebook member. You get a continual news feed as to what everyone in your network is doing. So enough about social networks, let's talk about blogs. They are the online journals or websites in which articles are posted in chronological order. Blogs, in essence, have become the new homepage. They're a place where amateurs are writing alongside professional journalists because there's very little technical skill that's involved with setting up a blog. Everyone now has a voice online. There are over 75 million blogs online today, and over 1.5 million new blog posts created every day, or about 17 posts per second. They're great tools for breaking news, for staff communication, for creating subject resources and course materials, for posting media reviews, and for publishing pretty much any kind of content. And academic libraries are making use of blogs. The Kelvin Smith Library at Case Western Reserve University blogs about library news, such as database changes, university receptions, and digital video acquisitions. They say that they're reaching people in different ways due to their blog and generating comments from their own community and beyond. The Binghamton University Library has initiated a business blog on which they blog about electronic reference resources, business database news, and statistical sources. The Mohawk College Library presents notes and links to slides following their library workshops and classes. The reference librarians at Barnard College have been blogging to keep each other updated since 2004 on their RefDesk blog. The university librarian at McMaster University Library is blogging to provide a more accessible or relatable profile for the library. and he says that his blog and Facebook profile allow him to communicate in new ways with students and faculty, and in ways that they're already communicating amongst themselves. So you're probably all familiar with instant messaging at this point. It's a way of having a real-time online text chat. And according to Pew Internet and American Life Project, 53 million adults use instant messaging, and 24% of them use it more than email. IM is a great way to provide virtual reference, staff communication, conduct remote meetings, and really any sort of collaboration. And academic libraries have been using IM. It's now become pretty standard to see one of these MeeboMe widgets on a library web page, or even a page that's associated with individual librarians, such as subject guides or blogs. There are hundreds of libraries listed in the Library Success Wiki as offering IM reference to patrons at academic and other libraries. The Ohio University Libraries makes their Skype account available for patrons to make internet calls, video calls, or text them with their Skype account as well. And the librarians there say that by offering Skype, they're expanding the access options available to their users. The American University Library is offering SMS, or short message service, IM reference. So their students can send them an IM reference question just by texting it in from their cell phone. And they say that they've recently switched to Mevo and that their stats have doubled because of this. So let's switch gears again and talk about microblogging. Microblogging is a way to convey short text messages of up to 140 characters online. Probably the most popular of these applications is Twitter, which is a free communication and social networking tool which allows you to post these messages to your circle of friends via the Twitter website, also through SMS, through email, IM, or any other Twitter client that you have. And messages appear not only within your profile on Twitter, but are sent to your community of followers who have signed up to receive your updates. Although there are other applications out there which offer microblogging, Twitter alone has over 300,000 users. And they're great for making short event announcements, for news updates, for making web resource recommendations, and for promoting the library. And academic libraries are starting to adopt microblogging. The University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign Library is promoting their events through their Twitter account. So followers of their profile will be alerted to an upcoming dance performance, wellness and stress consulting, special librarians' office hours, an upcoming research rally, and free candy at the reference desk for those coming in with questions. And those who have Twitter accounts can promote them using t-shirts from ReactD, which encourages passersby to send text messages in order to receive their latest tweets via cell phone or SMS messaging. Beyond strictly academic libraries, the library at the Lunar and Planetary Institute, which has 100 followers, is utilizing microblogging to make announcements to lead people back to their library website. I don't know if you can tell, the text is kind of small, but they have a link for every one of their tweets that they've created. Hopefully by now most of you have heard of Second Life. It's a 3D virtual world which is created by its inhabitants. It's a non-game-like environment, so there aren't quests and things like that. And it's a massive social community with a free market economy. There are over 9 million residents, including over 60 colleges and universities, and over 500 librarians currently in the world. It's a great tool for remote education, for training, for holding virtual events and conferencing, and for marketing and promotion. And academic libraries are starting to use Second Life. The Nova Southeastern University Law Library and Technology Center maintains a virtual law library within Cyberary City 2, where they provide patrons with subject guides, links to legal resources such as UN and government documents, as well as links to the library catalog and to WorldCat. The McMaster University Libraries has an office in Cyberary City, offering patrons database searching and access to the library catalog, as well as live librarian support. The San Jose State University SLIS program is offering courses which are partially taught within Second Life. They say that their students are very motivated and challenged by their work in Second Life, and that they have a great time building the campus itself. The Georgia Institute of Technology maintains the Second Life Library in Cyberary City, which provides patrons with access to Georgia Tech dissertations, resource guides, library databases, as well as the library catalog. Libraries are using Second Life for special exhibits, similar to this interdisciplinary arts exhibit held at the new Ohio University campus. Beyond academia, the Second Life Library, Searcy Dynex, and the ALA, as well as many others, are utilizing the virtual space that's available in World to hold conferences and meetings. So an emerging area that I wanted to talk about is answers communities. In these communities, people post questions which are answered by their peers. In addition to many ready reference questions that members are asking, they're also asking for research assistance, such as how to find or how to get started with particular research areas. Within the first year of its inception, from December of 2005 to 2006, Yahoo Answers garnered 160 million answers and has become the second most popular online reference website behind the Wikipedia. There are not a lot of examples of libraries using this technology right now, which might be good, might be bad, but people are certainly going other places for their answers. Answers communities are great tools for virtual reference and for outreach and promotion. So let's see how academic libraries are using them. On the 10th of every month, librarians from all backgrounds, including academia, invade Answers communities and answer questions providing authoritative sources while promoting their own library. This monthly event is called Slam the Boards, and it's a great example of going where the users are. Finally, I'd like to mention subject guides tools. These tools allow the addition of multimedia and multi-format elements, such as photos, videos, social bookmarks, RSS feeds, and widgets to traditional resource guides, as well as an interactive dimension, which makes them particularly 2.0. The Squeedoo community, started by marketer Seth Godin, currently has over 50,000 subject guides on it. And these are great tools for creating subject guides, pathfinders, and how-to guides of all sorts. And academic libraries have been using them. The Boston College University libraries are using LibGuides, which is a white label subscription service, also by the SpringShare company that I mentioned earlier with LibMarks, And this also enables libraries to create a branded community of librarian-created subject guides or portals for their users. And over 60 academic libraries are trying out LibGuides at this point. And Boston College has created over 85 guides using the software. And here is one of their guides. It's the one for finding newspapers. You can see that the librarian, Ken Liss, has his profile over on the right with a MeVoMe widget embedded in it so that students can IM him with questions that might come up right while they're in the subject guide. And Ken says that these LibGuides are carrying librarians into the world of Library 2.0, empowered by their ability to manage their own online presence. Michael Stevens, LIS instructor for Dominican University, utilizes the Squidoo technology to create reading lists and recommended web resource lists for his courses, including this one for his LIS 753 class. So as you can see, academic libraries have begun to adopt social software tools for many reasons: to enhance library services, for outreach, marketing and promotion, for training and instruction, for digital asset management, remaining current, for communication and collaboration, for networking and community building, and for going where the users are. I have a few do-it-yourself social software tips for you to jump right in and start to learn what's possible with these social software tools. Go on Flickr and upload your photos. Get a social bookmarking account on Delicious. Go on YouTube and take a look around. And really, once you see what you start to see what's possible, you can start to get some ideas for professional applications for your own organization. And most of these social software accounts are free. And if you're interested in finding out about more initiatives among academic libraries trying out emerging and social software tools, you might want to check out some of these Library Emerging Technology Lab pages. They are library pages where they list their beta or experimental initiatives that are going on. And this is where I can be reached with any questions that might come up. And this is where I blog. And down at the bottom, you can see where the presentation is. Thank you very much.